to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James.
The Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner.
What are you cooking up in this kitchen?
I'm doing the right thing this time around.
Yeah.
Aneke, it is summertime, and it's not summertime sadness. It's summertime short shorts and get it out.
Yeah, I love that. What are we going to be doing in this summertime?
Well, Aneke, it's summertime, and I want to make sure that our community, our LGBTQIA+, knows some travel tips, specifically our trans community folks. And also, for lesbians, I've got some great blog sites for you for hooking up those travel destinations, and for the queer community in general, places that you've got to go to before you die.
I love it. And I am, you know what you need when you go on vacation?
Books. What you need?
Books. That's true.
I need to be reading stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hook you up with a list of YA LGBTQ books to give out as gifts, to read yourself, to spread around the love of the written word.
Ooh, yes. We need to get into that. Y'all better praise it. So we're going to get into it. And also, it's Pride, so there's lots of stuff to talk about Pride.
Yeah.
I saw Love, Simon, and I've got some thoughts.
And I think we should go into those thoughts now.
Let's go into the thoughts. Hey, hey.
Sup, James?
Happy Pride, my little boobala.
Happy Pride.
I don't know what that was.
How's your Pride been?
It's been Pride-tastic. I think that's what the kids are saying. It's been very prideful.
Sure.
I've been feeling
you can make it work.
Very out and proud. It's actually been one of my favorite Prides. I'm here in San Francisco Bay Area, back home.
Welcome back.
Yeah, y'all just do it up. It's not, you know, too big like that. New York Pride's nice. It's very cool. I've said this last year, New York Pride's very cultural. It's like a world pride.
Yeah, because a Stonewall is there and everything. Well, it's like the epicenter.
And you just get like people from all over the world in New York, like who live there. So you'll get like the contingents will be like the Dominican like float and like the there's like a Middle Eastern like contingent. And, like you just don't have those numbers of people here in San Francisco, which is also changing and just becoming vastly like
white.
The demographics of the tech industry, I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good way of putting it. That's a nice,
Because it's not necessarily all white, but it is. It's
true.
A certain subsect of people, and they have a certain culture that I feel is taking away from what San Francisco used to be.
Which actually brings me, you like led me right to the water of what I wanted to ask you about. Because we have, you know, we have the big Pride Parade here in San Francisco, which just happened.
Yes.
And I, you know, I had a question because I saw a lot of people, you know, beautiful pictures and celebrations on my Instagram page and feed about the floats. And there was kind of split. Mm. Like half of people that I follow were either on floats that were from companies, like tech companies, and then other half of people were against the tech companies being involved in the parade. I believe they were kind of saying like, what was it, like hiding behind the rainbow flag or like or something, like putting on the costume of the rainbow flag. So like there was like Pinterest, LinkedIn, Google, you know, all of the tech companies that you just said have kind of infiltrated the culture here in the Bay Area. They were all represented, and I just kind of wanted to understand what your viewpoint on it was.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Let's unpack this together, because I have some ideas about it. I understand both sides of it. I think on the one end, if we look at the historical nature of what the purpose of the original, after the Stonewall riots, a year later, they had like the first marches, right?
Yeah.
And it was in order to gain visibility, because we were this silent community. And then especially in the 80s, we were this silent dying community. We were, you know, Ronald Reagan didn't even mention that people were dying of AIDS for four plus years as it was happening. We're this invisible dying culture. And now here we are like incredibly visible, so much that like corporations are wanting to be involved, and they want our money, you know? And right. I personally have always been a fan of like I love it when people want my money. Like Disney Channel does this when they started diversifying the kids on their programs because they wanted all the kids to come to Disneyland, you know? So they put diverse faces. So I'm always a fan when like, I remember I was flipping through magazines and seeing specific, I think this is maybe like 15 years ago, and I would see LGBT specific ads, like Levi's doing specific ads, like marketed. And I love it. Like, come get my money too.
Money breeds inclusivity.
It does, because like money is honestly, we live in a capitalist society and money is power. And like, you know, when, you know, black people weren't allowed to own property or to start up businesses, you don't have a say. You don't have a say in society. You're not allowed to participate in it. And it's kind of nice that like these corporations are these tech companies. Who I don't think, like, I think we have to, they're not all blanketly evil. I think, you know, I think that they're making efforts that, like, companies of the past sort of weren't. And I think, like, we have to be careful, like, just because someone's not doing it exactly the way that we want it to be done, that, you know, I think there's benefits that are happening. There are, like, these contingents have to pay money to enter into the festival. So that's money that's going back to LGBTQIA plus causes. It's creating, like, if you are working at that company, which, you know, the tech company can, I don't know what the breakdown is of like LGBTQIA plus people there, but like if I'm working there, it makes me feel like, oh, my company, but like it's a safe space for me to work. On the flip side, though, I do understand that like it does seem like it's. I remember when I was a kid going to like my first Pride Parade when I was 18, which was like, I'm not a mathematician.
Little baby James
away over there. And I remember it being like, it was still like, I mean, this is like what, 2003, 2004, and on the heels of like the
not that long ago.
And it was like on the heels of the 90s, and you remember the 90s, it was sexy ass time. It was just like,
it was the 90s. The 90s. You know, everybody was like, this is the 90s. Yeah, you can do whatever I want.
It was like this.
I got a nose ring and I shaved my head.
Ooh, and we're going to talk about sex on MTV. Like it was just like sex all over the place. And it was sort of this re-sexual revolution after the conservative 80s, you know, like the Reagan times.
Shoulder pads and
cover it up, ladies. Look
sneakers
like
sneakers walking to work.
And I remember
Patrick Bateman.
Yeah. I remember now I'm thinking of him chasing a woman with a chainsaw while he's naked.
I mean, terrifying, but that's also the 80s. That's a great allegory for the
80s. 80s were terrifying. 80s were terrifying. We survived. But on the flip side, like the parades used to be so sexy. Like every float. Like here's my thing.
Yeah.
Like Google or LinkedIn or Pinterest, sex up your float. Sex it up.
Oh.
Get sexy with it. Like I want to see like some. I just remember being so titillated and like just being able to see such, you know, out and proud sexualization as well. And I do also think like now, you know, we're adopting kids, so it's the sort of like the community is also growing and changing. But I do miss the sort of like sexualness of the Pride Festival that I think is just kind of withering down and kind of gone.
Okay, so I am now getting your sense about it is that you like the idea of money creating inclusivity. So therefore it's like, yeah, come to the parade, take our money, but also, you know, donate your money into good causes and stuff.
Yeah.
But also don't sanitize the parade because there is a certain aspect of freedom and sexual liberation that comes with the exposure of this community.
Absolutely that. And also like let's not like also it being political as well. I think like the Pride groups always had that. There has been this sort of sexual fuck itness to it, but there's also been a political thing. I watched a friend of mine was marching with the LGBT marching band, so we marched alongside of them. But before them it was like they were fighting against sort of the deportation stuff that's happening right now, separation of the kids from their families. So I
good.
Like there's, there needs to always still be those sort of it's a hodgepodge of like a lot of things of what the community I think represents, which is a very radical community. And I think there's a space for our like kids to be there as well, and also just like penises and boobies. Kids gotta learn.
I also just want to like point out the fact that we all are allies to another group too, and I appreciate the fact of being political in the LGBTQ Pride Parade, because it's demonstrating that you can be proud of who you are, but also support other groups.
Yeah.
Like, well, and not to mention intersectionality is a thing.
Boom.
And we keep forgetting it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was literally going to say the same thing, because our community is prized of anything that's affecting some other community is also affecting us, because we have members who are part of that community. So we have to fight up for them as well.
Exactly. Speaking of allyship, I just want to throw in a quick thing to all my straight brethren out there.
Ooh, yeah.
Can you guys tone it down when you're in other people's spaces?
Oh.
Do
tell, what happened?
I went to go see James perform in Manatee Cane, and
yeah,
it was excellent. I enjoyed it.
We'll post
the
video.
I had a lot of fun. We posted the video. It was great. And yes, straight people obviously are welcome. Like, I felt welcome, even though it's not like I was wearing a shirt that was like, I'm a straight bitch, you know, but like,
but man, I'm glad nobody that was... t-shirt does not exist in your wardrobe.
Jesus, you're like, can you imagine?
Let me pull this out.
We're just recording casually, and I'm like, oh, hold on, let me take my sweater
off. I get it, Aneke, I get it.
But like, it was like that with a couple of couples that were there at this, Oasis in San Francisco is a known queer place.
Yeah, it's a literal oasis for queer people.
Yes. And that doesn't mean that other people aren't welcome. But for some reason for me, and I don't know, I saw a couple couples that were just like flaunting. Like, they were just like hung up all over each other. The guy was like full on body wrapped around the girl, like kissy kissy all the time. But in the middle of the dance floor, on Pride Weekend, they pulled a Bachelor. Like, you know, whenever you watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, they always have the couple go up on a stage whenever like somebody's singing and they have to like dance and kiss each other while everybody else is just kind of like hanging out around them.
Yeah.
These couples were performing a Bachelor, Bachelorette in the middle of Pride Weekend at a queer club.
Yeah.
Like, tone it down. I feel like. Like, this world is meant for you. So it's kind of like, take a back seat.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to like point fingers and bring race into it, but I do feel like because the couples were white, there's a sense of privilege there too, where it's not realizing that you have to navigate
someone else's space, because all spaces in America are pretty much for you.
Exactly. So I'm not saying don't go, but like, one, cut out the voyeurism, and two, tone it down.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm going to have to add that to my rule number 6 of straight guy's guide to a gay bar. Cause I didn't even have that on there.
Do you think that am I being too persnickety or is that?
I appreciate that. I mean, there's like a gratuitous, like, I definitely have seen it, like the gratuitous. I didn't see what you've seen, but I have seen like the gratuitous sort of making out. And almost it seems like, I don't know, like you have to warn it about the intentions. Is it like you're trying to prove like how straight you are? Like, look at me make out with this woman.
Like, why do you have to do that? Like, why?
I get it. But then I guess,
and I don't even like even the women too. Calm down, Jesus.
But then I wonder on the flip side, if I were to with my imaginary boyfriend, well, that makes me sound crazy.
Yeah.
With my imaginary boyfriend, if I go to a straight club and I'm making out with him like fiercely, are straight people like tone
different.
It down?
Okay. No, because you like literally the reason that gay clubs exist is because gay people weren't allowed in straight bars.
Right, but I'm saying if I go to a straight institution and I'm making out with my imaginary boyfriend, like, I wonder if straight people look at me and be like, tone it down.
Me personally, no, because I feel like it's the flip, you know,
right.
You get what I mean, how it's the flip, where it's like, if you've been excluded from a place and then you come back in, that's different.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're the status quo and then you go into a place that was literally created to protect people from the places that you can inhabit.
Yeah.
Flaunting your status quo, that feels wrong to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, smooch your boo, but like, don't like have to, we get it, you're straight. Like, you don't have to prove anything to anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I do get what you're saying.
Like, it wouldn't be an issue if, like, from the very beginning, people weren't bigots.
Yes, that is like,
you know?
Going back to the root, the square root of the issue, everyone just stop being bigots. Rule number one.
Yeah.
Then we're
exactly.
there. So on Pride weekend, so did the walk to the parade, went to like a fancy ass brunch in someone's jungle like backyard in the castle.
So fancy. You're just living that rich life.
Living that life from some producer guy. I don't know who he was, but I was there in his backyard. And then went to the Castro for a bit. But then the thing before I went out for my Nada on the town for Pride, we went back to go watch Love, Simon. So we got some pizza and we watched Love, Simon. And it
was it cute?
Fascinating. The movie's so interesting. I'm going to break some tidbits down for you. On the hugest front, I'm glad the movie exists. I think it was rated PG-13.
It's based off of a book, based off of a YA book, which is actually ties into my corner later on.
Ooh, little hang in there, because it's coming for you. sounds like a threat.
I think it was like Simon and the Homo Sapien Agenda or something like that. That's what the book was called.
They definitely repurposed it, that title.
They did?
It's not that title.
I know, they changed it. They made it more bite-sized and friendly.
The movie, it's very much done in sort of the vein of like it's like, you know, they're going for it. This is going to be a classic teen movie for this generation. And I think it really does sort of capture the zeitgeist of teenhood, like sort of how Clueless did, how Mean Girls did, how John Hughes movies did as well. So it's got that.
Look at you like getting all the generation points. I appreciate that, James. That's good.
I have to get them all. And they're instant classics. I think it has the ability to be sort of instant classic. My one thing, like as an actor, I just was like, damn, these kids are not in high school. They were all definitely in their 20s. And so we were just like laughing so much because I thought the movies were getting better. Like Spider-Man Homecoming, those kids look like kids and I appreciate that.
Yeah, they did a good job, even though they were kind of older, but they were like got 19, them 20, to look like, but close enough.
Yeah.
In Riverdale, they do that on purpose where they're like, we know these look like 30-year-olds.
It's part of the
That's
fun.
That's why we're making it sexy.
Okay.
But Love, Simon is that weird, like these are 25-year-olds.
Yeah,
like,
they all look like they were 25. But as an actor who's in his 30s, it made me feel grateful. Like I can still maybe be in high school. I can still do this. Okay, I'll play a senior, maybe even junior.
You could play a college freshman.
No, apparently, according to Love, Simon, I just shaved the beard off and I'm good. And I do understand like the debate that I was talking to a friend of mine about it. Like, and I struggle with this too, which is why I never saw Call Me by His Mother's Name or what was it? Call Me by Simon's
Name.
Call Me by His Name. Okay, His Name. Say my name.
Say my name. I heard about that peach bit and that sounds gross.
I haven't heard anything. And so like I sort of not interested. Like here's the thing. I see sort of white gay stories and I don't see them as mine. I don't connect
because
to them.
Because they're not. I mean, they're not.
I have such like I can watch Dear White People and see a young black gay kid and I'm involved. And I have so much like POC entertainment. Attack My Block? Is that the one that's on?
Oh, Attack the Block.
That's on the Netflix series that takes place in LA.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the British horror movie with John Boyega.
On My Block. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. It's super amazing coming of age POC story in LA. Like,
cute. I love
it. Super amazing. And so there's so many other options. So I do understand people like kind of, I'm looking at this like waspy kid who like, oh my God. And sometimes the costume design, his sister who's like, I think 12, they kept putting bows in her hair. Like,
why?
Why is she wearing bows in her hair? Who did the costume design for this? It was like,
oh my God. And they're very. Or was she supposed to be 6 and they just aged everybody up?
Yeah, I don't know. So it was just like, but I get it. You're white and waspy, you know? So there was that sort of like struggle for me to connect with it. He's this young, twinkie sort of guy. And he's also very, he's straight passing. But at the same time, can't these stories be told? And I do understand, like, for the first sort of mainstream movie that's probably the avenue that has to for a mainstream PG-13 movie that it's gay but it's not rated R. That's like, you know,
but like at this point, haven't we been there, done that? Let's
not
expand
the movie
it a little
industry
bit.
The movie industry is behind the times consistently. It just tends to be a little bit more they hold their cards a little bit closer to their chest. And TV, sure, they've been, listen, Glee was what, 2005, 2006? Like, we've been doing this shit. So there was that. I will say the way that it ends, I'll just say this, it makes me very happy and seen.
Okay, good. Well, I have a question for you.
Yeah. Did that give too much away?
No, that doesn't give anything away, but that's nice.
Okay.
But I got a question for you. Because, you know, we all gravitate to our own stories. So I know that there's a black woman or black teenage girl in the movie. She's like his friend.
Yeah. In fact, the last
scene. But I heard that there's something weird, though. Like, he, like, tries to barter her off on, like, one of his friends.
Oh, I didn't see.
Like, what's that shit?
I didn't see it as that. The closing scene, and there's five kids who are in a car. Only two of those kids were white, so that was really dope. And
okay, that's good.
And you know how I like those background extras? The background extras were also diverse.
Good. Yeah, I mean, you love yourself. You love some scenery acting.
What's the story back there?
You love some.
I did the same thing in Incredibles 2. I was like, "What's the story?" Okay, there's some people, not a lot, but they would throw in one or two. So there's some.
Okay, still people. Suffering from tokenism, but you know,
some people on the design team were like, "Let's plug one in here." I think, like, not to give too much of a plot away, but someone is essentially blackmailing him because he's gonna out his secret. This one guy finds out and he's gonna blackmail him, but he wants to get together with the really cute black girl who's his friend, and so he Simon has to try to sort of manipulate them to get together. So it's more so it's more of a Days of Our Lives plot point that I've seen. That's a storyline that is. For me, it wasn't even about that. It could have been a white girl who was also in there.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't know why, but for me, it irritates me that they have to pit that against black women's agency, black women's sexual agency. Like, I don't.
I mean, but it doesn't. Like, but he doesn't. And he totally gets shit for it. Like, he gets, like, his life comes crashing down for his actions. Like, he loses everything. And the other thing, too, that I think is really great is that the storyline, it was heartbreaking to watch because what ends up happening to him, like, I'm like, oh, my God, kids kill themselves over it. And what is nice is that he doesn't go down that pathway at all. He sort of processes and deals with it and makes amends for his life coming crashing down. And he screws up everything with his friends. And they all, I also am kind of mad at his friends because they like, I'm like, you know, I get that what he did was fucked up. But like, also, he's your friend and he is coming out. And it is like, it's a struggle. There's also a very femme, an out and proud black character who's like super femme. So I'm glad that they had that. I just kind of saw it as like a plot line that's like would have been in something like Days of Our Lives or any sort of like drama that's like blackmail and like trying to like, you know, manipulate and stuff like that.
I totally get it. I think the reason that I just don't like the idea of, once again, black women sidekick pawn in a story. That's the only thing that I think that I was irritated with. But I need to see it, actually, instead of just reading the things.
I get my concern, I do.
Though.
And I think, like, but I do think, too, I do get it. And I do think sometimes we can be so quick to jump on things because we're so used to, like, seeing these things. Because I'm the first. Like, I'm ready to go. And that never had crossed my mind. I think if you were to see it, like, you would be like, oh, okay, yeah. It's not as like that the word bartering wouldn't come to mind when I think about the plot line that it was. And she's such a dope ass character that I don't think it took away.
She's multidimensional.
She's incredibly multidimensional. Everyone in the cast is very multidimensional. And they also acknowledge race in it as well. So they're not just tokenly cast as like, oh, we're colorblind casting. They make a comment and it's sort of like, they make a comment, and they are aware that race is involved in this world. So,
good.
It's not a perfect movie. Sometimes the plot points are very like, oh, what is happening here? But I'm glad the movie exists. I give it a solid B.
You know, cool.
Glad it exists.
I feel like that's good.
I'm glad it exists. It's a start.
It is. And plus, I mean, like all the other movies that you named before, teen movies can be super problematic.
Yeah.
So also, this sounds like it's on the lower end.
And also, I have to admit, I'm not the demographic for this movie. So I also kind of like need to like sort of, you know, people probably could say a lot of shit about Clueless or Mean Girls or things like that. And because those movies were for me, I might not see those things. So it's also probably not for me. And I kind of need to just sort of take a back seat. I've aged out.
I know. Sad but true.
Sad but true.
Not to mention the John Hughes movies, which weren't for me. I was a little kid in the 80s.
Yeah.
But yikes.
Yeah, totally. We've come a long way. We'll say that. We've come a long way.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Well, it's time to pack your bags, lady, because I've got some LGBTQIA+ travel tips, locations, and guides for you, mama.
Summertime vacation.
Vacation, all I ever wanted. Get up, panties everywhere, and penises and things that you need. I don't know.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, Adam, we're still putting out the Greatest Discovery podcast while we wait for season two.
What are we doing with these episodes?
We've talked to a whole bunch of interesting people, like The Wall Street Journal's Ben Fritz and MaximumFun.org's own Danielle Radford. We're kind of using this time to find ways to entertain ourselves and you while we wait for the next season.
So catch yourself up with Star Trek Discovery and join us Tuesday on The Greatest Discovery. It's on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got my sunscreen. I got my bags packed.
We are so sorry. Literally, I was about to say, get your sunscreen, and I couldn't get it out.
Oh, no, I already, beat you to it. I got
well,
it.
You know, I don't want my baby to burn. I don't want you to burn, baby.
No. All of us with melanin still need to wear.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sunscreen.
I went skiing once and got sunburned because that sun will reflect off
that
snow.
Oh, yeah, the reflection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can get it.
You got to wear sunscreen all the time. That sun, you don't want no skin cancers.
That sun does not fuck around. It is no joke.
It does not.
So it's summertime, and you know,
yes,
I love to travel. You know I do. And
yes, you do.
I had this dream that was like, but how and where do LGBTQIA plus people travel? And I was like, and I woke up from this feverish dream, and I started doing some research. Well, no.
This is dramatic.
I didn't actually start doing some research. It was a few days later. I remembered I'd had dream, and I was like, let's do some research. Because I was sort of just thinking and coming across this, and some articles I was reading corroborated this, that a lot of... there's not a lot of travel guides geared towards LGBTQIA plus people and even like queer POC people. And especially like, I would say even like lesbians and a lot of, so I was reading this article from the Huffington Post by Anita Dulce Vida. She's a contributor.
Oh, cool name.
She's also the owner of Dapper Q, which is a blog, which I'm going to talk about in a second. And
cool.
In her article, she was talking about how, you know, tourist guides really fail to educate visitors about the rich, diverse LGBTQ culture that exists outside of the bar scene. Like, you won't really hear, like, a lot of blogs or travel guides that will talk about where the voguing balls are. Or she even mentioned that there's this huge fashion show that's hosted at world-renowned museums. And so, like, you won't really find that. Like, a lot of, like... And I'm kind of getting really frustrated with, and so listeners, please email or tweet at us. I am looking for new queer blogs because Queerity, I'm kind of done with you. Queerity is a site that like I was super into, but like it's just become even whiter than usual, like white gay men information.
This is how I'm feeling about Jezebel.
Oh, yeah. See? And so it's just becoming like, I wonder if they're sisters. No, Jezebel's connected to the
Root. I think Queerity isn't.
And actually, Queerity is actually essentially sponsored by this gay travel blog site. Mm-hmm. And so, but again, like all of like the, and they'll do like world travel, but it's a lot of just sort of circuit party type stuff. There's not a lot of.
There's not a lot of diversity in the type of travel.
Exactly. And so then the things that they cover, and then they were covering like this one article I saw like a black guy and I was like, ooh, what's this? And it was just to talk about how this one black actor said something homophobic. And I'm like, oh, now we're talking about black people. Like,
damn it.
Yeah. It was the guy who was in, I'm not even gonna get into it.
Let's put that away.
They've already talked about it, so you can figure it out.
It's summertime vacation.
So, so she talks about too, that travel marketing is aimed primarily at white cis gay men. And, it can be twice. And also she said that for many queer women's travel blogs, that can be twice as hard to secure advertisers and sponsors, for
them.
Damn,
really?
Yeah. And Out Now CEO Ian Johnson, he said lesbians are one of the travel industry's most neglected valuable tourism segments.
Rude.
Yeah, and it's not that people of color aren't traveling as well. When you talk about it's even harder for queer people of color. It's not that we're not traveling, it's just that mass media isn't really documenting it.
That makes sense.
And so it also can kind of beget, like I remember when I was traveling in Barcelona, I ran into this young black gay guy in Barcelona who's from like the US, and he was really struggling like with his travels and adventures.
Damn.
And I can kind of understand that, and also just made me realize that maybe I need to start a travel blog. of
if you see a hole, you need to fill it.
I know. So I don't even know how I would start, but that's not an excuse. So I think it's something that I might be being called to do. So we'll put a pin in it. Because I like you.
I mean, you're literally on a vacation right
it's
now.
It's true. And I love to travel. I've been doing it. And I would like to create a, like, because you want to know, like, how was a queer POC's experience in Sweden? It's going to be different than a white person's, you know? And is this a good place to go? Where are the good places to go? I can tell you Amsterdam, great place to go. I could have tidbits about spots in Spain, and I'll also give you the real lowdown of like what's it really like in certain cities and the pros and cons to each. So maybe there's something
that's good.
I just want to give a quick rundown. So essentially what I want to do is divert you to what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what are some lesbian blogs for travel for you,
for our
lesbian listeners out there. Some great blogs out there. I also want to give some trans travel tips, and then just some general must-see travel things to do before you die. So we're going to dive on into it and see what we can get through.
All right.
So there's Dopes on the Road, which is by Meg Campbell. She is also an LGBTQ runs Facebook's lesbian travel group. And so she has a blog that centers on experiences for queer women. And she's considered, considered one of the top go-to queer women's travel sites and does not shy away from sex-positive topics. So you know it's got my ding, 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 ding. You had me at sex. So then there's also a Dapper Chick, which is not only a travel blog, but it's got a growing travel section that showcases the travel adventures of Black and queer women. So
intersectionality.
So founding editor Sarah Gefford, she's a travelista. She is a social media influencer. I just love.
Get those ad revenues.
She is influencing stuff, and so she does things from style and travel, also stylish travel, which I don't know what that is, but I'm into
just
it.
Just looking fancy as you travel.
Damn,
I'm
I
assuming.
Need to then look at this blog because I don't. I just look like I'm a mess when I travel.
I know when I travel, I'm like, where are my sweats?
So you need to look at her social media page, her page.
I'll appreciate her from afar. Okay. I'm not going to emulate it, though. That's a lot of work.
I want to travel with style. And then she also recently with her best friend, Debbie Jean Lamonte, who is of...
All these names are great names, man.
I know. We need to step it up. You've got an amazing name, too. So we'll put that in there.
Okay, Nicky Fiskar. Yeah,
you're right there. I was like, wait a minute.
It's no Debbie Jean Lamonte, though.
It's right there. You guys could hang out. You could be friends. Which they did a 52 Weeks Across America, which documented safe U.S. destinations for Black queer women in post-Trump America.
So important.
So important. Because, like, people are like, you know, I hear white people talking all the time, like, I want to travel across the country. I'm like, I don't know how.
I'm scared. Yeah.
But it looks like they did the work for us. So, maybe we'll take it on the road. So there's also Fit for a Femme, which is Aja Aguirre. You're right. Their names are all
once again, these great names.
She's
these names are amazing.
Fierce femme of color. She's a fashion blogger extraordinaire. And so she kind of shows some stylish vacations. She's like that. Some stylish vacations that'll make you want to plan an adventure around in a pair of heels.
Fuck no, but I mean, good for her.
You know, to each his own, there's a niche. If there's a hole in that, if there's a hole,
yeah, you gotta fill it. And that one is not for me. Give me those sneaker blogs, and I'm all about it. Travel with Toms? That's me.
They can make it. Oh, man. So there's also Globetrotter Girls. This one's been going by since 2010, and it's got travel stories and recommendations from this lesbian blogger by the name of Danny, and it has articles include sound travel advice, also affordable ways to get around Europe, so that sounds like a pretty good one, and places to visit an LGBT place.
That's awesome.
Just real quick, there's Dapper Q, which is the woman who wrote this article, Anita Dolcevita?
One of the awesome names.
So she mentioned her blog in the article, and she's really cute about it. She's like, just like transparency, this is like mine.
Promote yourself, girl.
Yeah.
Come on.
And so she also writes for Huffington Post, but also does a travel Q section and has just sort of like been adding in sort of her adventures with her and her partner. They went to Sarajevo.
What's that? Oh, Sarajevo. Wow.
You're like, Sarajevo? I don't know her. Sarajevo.
I'm like, who's that? Who's Miss Havo?
Miss Havo? What'd you call me? And so that's a place that's not considered very LGBTQ friendly, but they went because her partner's family's from there. And so I like that because it's sort of like, we'll tell sort of how to navigate places that, like, you've got to know. You got to know.
That's good. I mean, like, what... People want to see the world,
yeah.
And it's nice to get an instruction on how to navigate places that aren't so friendly.
Absolutely. So there's a bunch, we're going to link the articles. There's more blogs that you can check out, but those are the ones that kind of piqued my own interest real quick.
Yeah.
So just in general, traveling, I got this from TortigaBackpacks.com, which is a blog. This is some travel tips I thought were pretty cool. So those of you who are going out traveling, here are some quick tips for just the community at whole. And then I'm going to give some tips for transgender travelers specifically. So do your homework before traveling. Just because something is labeled LGBTQ friendly does not mean that it's actually for all identities. It is kind of a label that just kind of gets thrown around. And so there might be an event and a party that actually, like, it sounds like LGBTQ, but maybe it's actually not so trans friendly, you know? So kind of try to do your research about it. And again, that's very sad for our community. We need to step it up. Like,
That's also, this can translate to everybody. Do your research before you go anywhere. Don't be the dumb American clomping around in a country that you know nothing about.
True. Yeah.
Research will save you.
Yeah. Also consider LGBTQIA plus friendly travel agencies. Like, there's outoffice.com, Detours, and they'll help to, I guess, plan a trip that will minimize the stress of possibly encountering discrimination.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Also, know the laws and how to contact a local LGBTQIA plus organization in case you find yourself victim of discrimination or crime. You'll want to make sure you have emergency contact information, and an exit plan should also be prepared in advance if you are traveling to a less accepting destination. I remember when,
So true.
Yeah, and also just going back to, like, knowing the laws. Actually, this next one, I'll talk about this in a second. It says take extra precautions in high-risk countries. So take great care traveling to Eastern Europe as well as highly religious places like Italy, Northern Ireland, Turkey. I would even say I was in Morocco. Very sort of strict religious countries, I would say, because I know when I was in Morocco and I had fired up the scruff, just wanted to see who else is around. Not necessarily like I'm looking for a hookup. Why do I need to defend myself? I'm on vacation.
This is your blog or your podcast. You just jump right into it.
So I was on the scrap. And I got a warning that was like, you know, be careful. Like, it's dangerous. Like, you could, I mean, you could be murdered, know. So you just,
that's
definitely kind of got to be aware and just be aware of where you are. This one says hit up the festivals and events. So apparently the winter months in Europe do have a lot of LGBTQIA plus events, ranging from film festivals to ski weeks to pride parades. And that's just in Europe.
This article that sounds
didn't
fun.
Mention things that are happening in places like Asia or South America, but they are there. So
there's festivals everywhere. I love a festival. Hit up a festival.
I want to speak specifically tips for transgender travelers. So this comes from Travel and Leisure, which I thought was really dope. That Travel and Leisure, which is like this
they're like a big bougie brand. Yes. So that's good.
Big bougie
brand. Just picturing their like... like the writing where it's like travel plus leisure, and then there's like Santorini in the background.
It was all of that and more. And I was like, look at them doing tips for transgender travelers. So
good on you, Travel and Leisure.
The changing of the times. So they said, first and foremost, know your rights. Going through airport security can be daunting to transgender travelers, but as long as the name on the booking reservation matches the name on the photo ID, they should be fine. Regardless of whether the traveler's appearance matches what the ID says, the TSA legally cannot ask anyone to remove prosthetics and has strict policies to protect the rights of trans travelers. I didn't know that. You have rights. You are protected.
Know your rights.
Stay with a supportive brand. Checking into hotels also involves presenting a photo ID. So staying with larger brands that have supportive policies will help eliminate that risk of confusion from the front desk staff.
That's smart.
So apparently the Marriott has been known as a very particularly friendly company.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, its marketing has actually made a point of including transgender people. So there's that.
That's good for us allies too to know
to have recommendations and
also
stay
to
stay at the Marriott.
Use them.
Yeah, look at them. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true too. You're right. So I would say everybody take a look at this. And they have another link to other LGBT friendly brands that Travel and Leisure also love. So there's a link for even more. Mm. Have a medical letter as a last resort in circumstances when travelers need to show an ID.
That sucks, though. I hate that has to be an option.
Yeah. But the recommendation is having a letter from their doctor explaining that they are indeed the person named on the document, even though they appear differently. Having this in your back pocket should also help ease, put you at ease. You just kind of want to make sure that you have these sort of things. It's similar to you want to have, when you're traveling, a copy of your passport on you. You don't need to carry that around, but you need to have a photocopy of your passport. Mm-hmm. And the last one here, frequent safe destinations. So only 20 states have anti-discrimination laws that protect transgender individuals.
Only 20?
Yes. But that doesn't mean that transgender people should only travel to those states.
Right.
It just comes down to common sense. And most states, regardless of legislation, have very welcoming businesses and attractions. You know, New Orleans, Austin, even Fort Lauderdale, even though their states don't have anti-discrimination laws, they have you can find little pockets in the cities. So, and there's also a link for even more cities here that we'll link as well.
That's good.
So
peruse those links.
I just have lastly, I just want to leave you with orbits.com. I was all over the place with my research.
No, this is good. You got it all. Orbits, I've noticed, is very LGBTQ friendly.
They are. Well, they wrote an article I'm not going to read them all, but just some ones that I thought were really interesting. 25 queer vacation spots that you must take before you die. So things to see. So number one, and they have little recommendations on what to do at them. So number one, have a cocktail at the Stonewall Inn in New York.
Thanks, James.
See a movie at the Casio Theater in San Francisco.
Boom, done that. Check.
Get soaking wet with 20,000 gay women at the Dinah in Palm Springs, California.
Did not do that.
I haven't done that either.
Fun.
Yeah, but okay.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Going on a queer cruise. I love this one. They wrote, in quotes, earn a beaded necklace at Southern Decadence in New Orleans.
Southern Decadence.
Oh, Southern Decadence is it's
you've heard of?
It was when the first when I was coming of age gay, and I was like, ooh, one day I have to go to Southern Decadence. It is exactly what it sounds, and it
sounds
crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel the word decadence isn't used as much as it should. Has connotations.
But when it's said in that sentence, Southern Decadence in New Orleans, earning beads,
It's wow.
It's very, I would say, Greek, everything goes. It's just probably a lot of sex in the streets. But maybe it's changed. I don't know. I mean, everything's changing. So now there's I don't know, Walgreens with a float there or something.
Stop it. No, fuck Walgreens right now.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. But
they
fuck them.
Have some shit about miscarriage and stuff.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So, not them, but maybe Google's there. Here's your Google beads. Get out of here, Google. I'm sucking this dick. All right.
Wow. Okay.
You
What's
said
the next
it's my
one?
Podcast. Our podcast.
It is. I'm not shaming you, but it's also my podcast, which means that I can say a wow here or two.
I love that you were okay, next one. harness your inner kink at Folsom Street Fair. Check.
Done, been there.
Ooh, I love this one. Follow in the footsteps of James Baldwin through Paris. And so they have
romantic.
Right. So James Baldwin left quite a footprint. And so you can, apparently City of Lights has where you can trace his steps and you can go in the numerous places that he went from Les Deux Magots to Café Turin to Le Soleil to Brasserie Leap. La Montagne en Café de Fleurs, among others.
Wow.
Good thing I dated that French guy. Did you hear how that was good?
Yeah, I know. Oh, also, you should watch the James Baldwin documentary.
Oh, yeah. I think it's on Netflix.
I Am Not Your Negro.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's on Netflix.
It's excellent. It's, yes, watch it.
I'm not going to shame myself because I haven't seen it yet, but I am going to see it. Thanks
for
reminding me.
Oh, no, it's on your list.
It's on my list.
Don't shame yourself. It's on your list. You should watch it. It's amazing. Okay. He's amazing.
I probably should have watched that instead of Love, Simon on Pride, but whatever.
No, you know what? You got time.
You're right. Ooh, and you'll like this one. Find a dungeon with your name on it in Berlin, Germany.
why did you think that I would like a Berlin dungeon?
I just imagine you like going along with me for the ride and then like just being locked in a dungeon all of a sudden.
I am such a weenie. I know. Like, I don't want to be like locked in a dungeon.
But it's a sexy dungeon. I wish you guys could see all the faces that Neke's making as she's processing
because
this.
I don't.
I know it's not for you, but it's just so funny.
You know, it's for somebody, and you know, it might be for me in the future. We don't know.
You're right. You don't know.
We don't know these things, but currently, I don't need to go to a Berlin dungeon.
We'll erase it from the list, but it's there if you need it. If you're like, I'm bored, I need something to do, and
it's waiting in a jar.
Yeah. Have a moment of silence at the Homo Monument in Amsterdam, Netherlands. This commemorates people who have been persecuted due to their homosexuality. And as we know, the Pink Triangle, which we've talked about, stems from the Pink Triangle was put for LGBT people in the concentration camps. And they had some of the worst treatments. So a lot of lives were lost. Like, in fact, like, I think I talked about this, but like when they liberated all the Jewish people from the camps, like, the gay people were actually still, like, they were not liberated. They were put in prison again.
And you definitely talked about this in a past episode where you broke down the meaning of the Pink Triangle.
Yeah. So then we also have Idle Away the Summer at IDA Middle Tennessee. I like this one. I wanted to mention this one because it's in Tennessee and you're like, but what?
I know.
There's a 200-acre farm. And it's a community of queer, transgender, and gender nonconforming people in the form of work projects, art making, and community building. And that's what IDA stands for, Idle Dandy Arts.
So it's like a co-op. It's a collective.
Yeah, it's sort of treated as like Ida Palooza during the summer. So there's got like a festival of music, which brings hundreds of people and helps pay for and maintains this vital safe space. That's over in Tennessee.
Okay.
There's also going over to Thailand. There's the Lady Boy Cabaret in Bangkok, Thailand. And Thailand just has like a lot of there's a lot of stuff there. So
Thailand's great. Yeah. Go to Thailand. Yeah. I want to go back.
Yeah. Oh, you've been. Did you go to one of Ladyboy Cabarets?
I did not because I went to a small little island called Koh Samui, which was a little bit more sleepy, but it wasn't like, you know, the big city lights of like, you know, Phuket or Bangkok.
Right.
But for sure, Thailand's excellent.
Just two more here. These ones are both giant party festivals. So we have Revel in the Dark at the Sydney Mardi Gras Parade, which I hear gets...
Oh, Australia.
In Australia. Good day, mate. We're going down under. Under my pants.
Speaking of Australia and queer tidbits, watch Nanette on Netflix. There's this comedian, her name is Hannah Hornsberry, I think, but the special is called Nanette. It's excellent. Oh. She's Australian, she's a lesbian, she talks all about it. She's funny, she's poignant, I was crying.
Aww. Okay.
It's fucking brilliant. Nanette.
Good insight. Yeah,
she brings up the Sydney Mardi Gras too.
Oh, so there it is from like a local. You know it's true now. It's not just Orbitz. It's Nanette says it too. Last one I'm going to mention, again, there are 25. I didn't list them all. I just listed the ones that really caught my eye. I like this one, A Break of Sweat at Atlanta Black Pride, the Atlanta Black Pride in Atlanta, Georgia.
People.
Yeah. So Atlanta has like, you know, the mecca of like Black Prides and it happens on Labor Day weekend. It's one of the largest Black Pride events in the United States. And it's, it mashes together daytime activism and nighttime celebrations.
Okay.
Events are neatly divided. Events are neatly divided by gender, but all come together for Sunday's Pure Heat Community Festival. So maybe it's like a caucus. Like, you know, you have your little caucus.
Okay, you got to have your time.
And then you come together. So I don't know, but it sounds interesting.
I mean, I've never been there, so I can't say anything.
Yeah, but
so
it's
maybe it's
on my
it's
to-do list. I hear a lot of great things and all them sexy Black men's over there. So I am into it. and okay. men who love them. So there it is. So it's summer. It's you're just getting to start your plans. There are some tips. There are some blogs. There are some things to do. Have mm-hmm. a great, safe summer. It sounds like I'm just signing off for the summer.
I don't,
see you in.
We'll be back.
Yeah. But, see you in the next corner. It sounded like I was leaving.
See you in summer again.
Yeah. See you in the next corner.
My corner.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
And together we present Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions.
We explain the historical significance of everyday etiquette topics, then answer your questions relating to modern life.
So join us weekly on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
No RSVP required.
Check out Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
All right, we're in my corner.
Ooh, I love your corner. It's so plush and relaxing.
It's
and
relaxing,
so green.
You know?
I'm into it.
I've been watering it.
Got anything to read in your corner?
Yeah, so my corner, we're going off of, we're just like closing out Pride Month with a big old Pride episode. And
Pride. Who's got Pride? We got Pride.
We got Pride. So I found this article in vulture.com.
Ooh, and, oh, sidebar real mm-hmm. quick. Mm-hmm. Vulture's new website is confusing as fuck.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's terrible.
Okay, I just don't know where anything is. I think it changes hard. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening. It's super organized, and I just can't find anything.
They've had other versions, but I like this one if they're going to settle on it. It's okay. Anyway, so, but we'll link this so you don't have to navigate the weird
It's confusing. Yeah, like, we're in that right now.
But it's basically, the article is called 38 Best LGBTQ YA Novels. Ooh. And I thought that this was really fascinating because, one, like you said, Love, Simon, we talked about earlier, was a YA novel, and a lot of YA novels get made into movies. Yeah. So if there is a growth of LGBTQ YA novels, then that means more visibility, more people are coming, like, it's more representation is coming up, which is good.
Yeah.
Also, us adults like an easy read, especially when you're on a summer vacation at the many spots that you brought up, James. So if you want an easy, gentle, happy
read. We just planned your summer for you. You got your location, you know how to get there, your blog, and then a book. You're welcome.
You are so welcome. And then
you're the guy reading at Southern Decadence.
Yeah, God. But also another, like, the important thing is if you have, like, a kid in your life, you know, who... I want to say, focus on the queer kids in your life. Maybe hand these books over to them, or any kid.
Kids
need to read about everybody, so the exposure is good, and it, you know, just creates more acceptance, because teenagers and preteens are super susceptible to influence, and if you give them positive influences, they're going to adapt and be open and amazing, and eventually vote and fix this garbage country. So,
well, and as we talked about in the show before, I mean, storytelling, what it does is it creates, it de-otherizes the other, you know? We're able to create empathy and understand someone else's journey, and you see the differences, but you also see the sort of intrinsic similarities that we as humans all kind of experience and go through.
Exactly. So I picked out 5 books from the list, and we're going to link the list too so you can look at all the other ones. And I focused on books that focus on aspects of the LGBTQ community that aren't normally seen, like POCs, lesbians, kind of the opposite of Love, Simon.
Yeah,
so I wanted to give a
thank
different
you,
picture.
Yeah, thank you for that highlight.
Okay, so the first one is called, and I'm just basically going to be reading this, so we'll link it, whatever.
Yeah.
So, Anger is a Gift by Mark Oshiro, which was written in 2018, this year. It's new.
Oh, new.
All of these are basically, presses. Yeah, these are all from this year. So this is a brilliant, gutting work that tackles police brutality and the militarization of schools while starring a large cast of queer characters of color, including trans, non-binary, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and asexual characters. You really get a sense of Moss's world, his friends, family, and neighborhood in descriptions reminiscent of the house on Mango Street. Moss finds a way to stop repressing his anger and start using it to fuel change. We can't recommend this book highly enough, but it is dark, difficult story, so please make sure you're in the right headspace to pick it up. So that sounds interesting. And I just like the idea of it including all aspects of queer characters of color, which is excellent. You don't normally see that. You know, you get the tokens. Okay, the next one is All Out, the No Longer Secret Stories of Queer Teens Throughout the Ages, edited by Sandra Mitchell. So this one I picked is because it's historical fiction, which is, you know, really, like, you kind of, one, it's historical fiction means that some stuff did happen in history and they're adding a fictional aspect to it.
Right.
So historical fiction has not been very common in queer YA, and All Out is here to change that. Queer people have so often been erased from history that it can feel as if we have no roots. All Out imagines the lives of queer teens throughout different time periods, often playing with genre, retelling, fairy tales, magical realism, fantasy as well. Not only does the image of queer histories, no, not only does this imagine queer histories, it imagines happy ones. It also features a range of identities, including trans, gay, lesbian, asexual, and aromantic characters. So, like, a lot of these stories are modern, you know? So it's kind of cool for the queer teen who loves history and is like, you know, likes fantasy and all of the other aspects that you don't normally see queer characters in, to read this and see themselves within it, you know?
Yeah, they get to actually be a part of it and go on having a magical adventure. We want magical adventures too.
Exactly. Shit. Okay, so... this one's called Ramona Blue by Julie Murphy.
I don't know why I got excited when you said it. No, I just was thinking about, remember Ramona and Beezus?
Oh.
Why did
that's
I think
not that's YA. That's like kid books.
I don't think she's a lesbian, but maybe like it was her coming out.
I mean, you never know.
Beezus.
No,
you know,
Beezus was like super, like she could have been femme, but Ramona. Right,
yeah. Ramona. Oh, yeah, I bet you. I'm, you know, I mean, I like to see that
we
story.
We don't want
to
gender that, kids, but.
Well, write that story. I would like to see that story. Ramona comes out.
Me too. That would be good. Yeah. Fascinating. Okay, so anyways, this one is called Ramona Blue. It's by Julie Murphy. It was written in 2017. Ramona is crammed into a trailer with her father, her pregnant sister, and her sister's boyfriend. Wow. She feels like she's bursting at the seams of her life. This is a story that deals with sexual fluidity and shifting labels, which is definitely not something we see a lot, not just in queer YA, but immediately media in general. Ramona is 100% sure of her attraction to women. It's Freddie that confuses her. Sexuality, romantic attraction, and identity labels are all very complicated things, and Ramona Blue deals with this complexity head on while also tackling racism and classism. So I picked this one because I like the idea of adding classism. Like, you're in a trailer with your father, your pregnant sister, and the sister's boyfriend, and you're also dealing with trying to understand where you are on the spectrum. And I like how it's flipped on its head, because normally it's like, oh, like with characters that are fluid, they're like, oh, I like men, but who, there's this one woman. I like how they flipped it, and it's like, no, I'm a lesbian, but what the fuck is this guy doing, like, attracting me? It's fascinating. So this one should be interesting.
I thought the same things when you mentioned that, like the class thing, as well. What a cool story. And like, also just like, why hasn't that story been told? Like, we tell the same stories over and over again, and this is just like, where has the story been? It's here.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so this one, I liked it because of its religious aspect. So Autobiography by Christina Lauren, which was written in 2017. When Tanner moved from California to Utah, it meant a brief trip back in the closet. He can be out as bisexual again when he goes to an out-of-state college the following year. That's the plan, until he finds himself falling for his Mormon writing mentor. Autobiography makes the list for its nuanced and sympathetic treatment of religion, specifically of Mormonism. It challenges some of the beliefs and behaviors of the church while not painting its followers as villains. This is a sweet love story, but there are a lot of barriers to this couple getting a happily ever after. I thought it just sounded really fascinating and neat and gentle towards each aspect of you know, that you don't normally see, you know?
Yeah. That's a cool little plot.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, the Mormonism part is fascinating to me.
Sure. Yeah. And the complexities with that, too. And I kind of like, too, that they kind of preface that we're not trying to villainize anybody here.
Yeah.
And just sort of explore a story and the complexities and challenges that unfold with that.
Exactly. Okay. There's one more.
Ooh, give it to me, mama.
All right. Not Your Sidekick and Not Your Villain by C.B. Lee.
I'm already there. This sounds like it was written in tandem with Solange.
This one is for you. No, you are going to love this one. Just hold on to your butt, James, because okay. This is literally your book, okay?
Okay.
Another genre that is lacking in queer YA is superheroes, not just comics, but any stories featuring superheroes. This is an unabashedly fun, tropey take on the superhero genre. It is entertaining, fast-paced, and includes the kind of characters that haven't always been found in these stories, including a Creole-American trans guy best Ooh. Friend, and there's a female-to-female romance. Not Your Villain continues on in this world, but with the trans character as the protagonist. This will be a trilogy, and the third book is highly anticipated.
Wow, that sounds mad interesting.
Yeah, so like basically the covers is like kind of cartoony. It looks like a graphic novel. They are queer teens of color that are superheroes, and I love that it continues on. And it's like, so the first one's called Not Your Sidekick and the second one is called Not Your Villain.
Wow. So, that sounds super awesome. Wow, what a great list.
Thank you. So that's basically it. Yeah.
I read years ago a young adult YA. Oh, wait, that's the same thing. I read a YA novel, a queer YA novel. Mm-hmm. It's the only one I've ever read, so it's the only one I know, but it's called Hero. Did you ever hear about it? Came out in 2007. It was written by Perry Moore, and it's a fantasy novel about a teenage superhero. His name is Tom Creed, and he must deal with his ex-superhero father's disgrace, his own sexuality, and a murderer stalking the world's heroes. And it's funny because like the characters that you read, they kind of like, it's sort of like he's living in a Justice League type world, like his father's kind of Batman.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. And then he finds his own sort of superhero powers and stuff, but he's also like coming together with his own sexuality. So it was kind of a cool read. I imagined him as black. Cool. Didn't say what his race was, but it's a fun read too. Perry Moore, it was going to be developed for Showtime years ago, and then it fell through, and then Perry Moore died, I think, so it could have been more in the series, but that was it. So just my two cents.
Right on. That's awesome. Well, cool. There you go. There's some books. Read. Read.
Well, hot damn, Anake.
Yeah. What a happy Pride Month, happy everybody.
Happy Pride. And I just want to thank Anake so much for coming out to my show
Oasis
last weekend. On my
B-Day.
I was
happy to be there. It was fun.
So great. Yeah.
And
good
now,
times.
Happy birthday, James.
Happy half birthday, Anake.
Thank you.
Yeah. Officially 35 and a half today.
Hey, you don't have to spread it all around.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just information
for
me.
Yeah, you know. It's okay. I'm not ashamed of it, but you know.
Ooh, if you are in San Francisco, I would recommend seeing a show called Soft Power.
Oh, you saw that. That's right.
At the Curran Theater. Went on a little date. It stars that guy. Oliver. His name. That's his character's name.
How to Get Away with Murder.
I forgot his name, but he's the lead in it, and he's super. It's really good.
It's good.
It's a really good musical. Predominantly, I think it's like 15 Asian American actors and one white woman.
Yes.
Yeah. And the white woman plays like a Hillary Clinton type character. No, she doesn't play Hillary Clinton type character. She plays Hillary Clinton. It's like a dreamscape musical, and it's sort of like a Chinese propaganda version of what Chinese folks think about America. And it's
interesting.
It has this double lens of looking at us through another culture's lens, but also how propaganda sort of works as well, and kind of shows the flaws into all types of cultures. But like, what I love is that like the Asian American characters will play stereotypes of American characters.
Yes!
So it's like everyone's got guns. It's like the Wild Wild
West.
Oh
my God.
The most fancy famous restaurant is like McDonald's. It's amazing. And like, I know what it's like to see a show and feel seen. And so I kept thinking, it's like, oh my God, like, And one of my friends, I was like, oh man, he's got to see the show because he's Asian American. I think that he would just really like finally feel seen. I know what that's like, you know? Mm-hmm. So I kind of felt that from like that sense of like, man, I can't imagine what any Asian American person who's watching the show must be feeling right now, because it's so rare outside of like Miss Saigon to see such a huge Asian American cast and very production. Contemporary show production. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And talking about very culturally relevant sort of things. So it was a really great show.
Awesome. Yeah, I gotta go check that out. I think it's throughout the whole summer, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Conrad Rickamora is his name, the lead. Oh,
nice. Yeah. Another talented. Great name. This has been the episode of Awesome Names.
You know what we're proud of? Great names.
Great names. Good job, parents.
Oh, man. Well, it's been so great. Nike and I got to spend some time together.
Yes, we did.
I just love being back here in the Bay with all like my lovely peeps.
I know. You're not going anywhere for a minute, so yep, you'll still be here next week.
Still be here next week with more zaniness to come.
Yay! Don't forget to... check us out on Twitter, Minority Corner with a K, Facebook, the Minority Kid mm-hmm. Corner Kid Playground.
There it is. Yeah.
There
wow.
We go.
Usually
Took
I struggle with it. Usually
Took
you're
a minute.
On it. And
Took
I just
minute.
Was like, I'm going to let her find her way. I'm going to let baby
you know,
find her way.
You know, thank you.
You
Thanks.
Did.
And then you're going to comment on it after. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm going to let her find her way. And then I'm going to comment on
People
it.
People are still posting, though. It is like a strong ass community.
Yeah, it is super strong. Like, yeah, I love just checking in and just like seeing the conversations that are happening. And just, mm-hmm. and also just like, you know, here's the thing too. You know, Aneke and I couldn't. We especially Minority Corner is huge, so there's only so mm-hmm. many things that we can cover sort of week to week. And like, if you know of different blogs or news sources that you know you think would be helpful, like I am, please send our way. I would
yes.
love to you know, I know I'd love to talk about more lesbian things and trans issues and more, and feed them right. to us. Let us know.
Right.
But I love our community inside the kids playground yeah. because they're having those conversations that we're not that are springboarding off what we're talking about, or just an addition and more space. So kudos
exactly.
to everybody who's having those conversations. Get in there.
Oh, I also want to promote Listen to Schmanners, which is another Maximum Fun podcast. This week, James guested on it.
I did. Yeah. We were talking about dating advice, which is funny because I am super single and haven't been for like 2 years. But I know things. I went on a date this weekend.
There you go.
I know
yeah.
things. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you're single doesn't mean you ain't dating.
And doesn't mean I'm ready, not ready to mingle. Like that we both did that annoying girl laugh.
I know,
at the end.
Oh my God. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not sorry. Oh, and shout out to baby Amanda Steinberg. Steinberg? Steinberg.
Yes, Steinberg.
She's just brilliant. I saw her talk on Oprah Super Soul Conversations, and like mm-hmm. she's like 18, 19, and just says brilliant as shit. And she came
she's
out
super
recently.
Smart. Yeah, congratulations, Amanda.
Yeah, we'll link her coming out article because she has some really great. Yeah. quotes about her coming out, like her
keep being an inspiration. She's an inspiration for us olds, for the
yeah.
younger generations coming up, and for the younger generations to look to and emulate, you know.
Like she said, my sexuality is not a byproduct of my past experiences with men who I have loved, but rather a part of myself I was born with and love deeply.
That's
I
good.
Was not saying that
Smart.
When I was coming out at 19. I was just like, I think I like dick. I don't know. You know?
Very smart. Brilliant young woman.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
it.
So brilliant. Mm-hmm. So we'll link that as well. And thank you to our editor, Woody. Thank you
yeah.
to all of our listeners and supporters out there and members. We love you so much. We can't do the show without you. And
so
thank you
true.
To Brownout for the
yeah.
music.
Thank you for that music. It's beautiful.
We love it. And thank you to all. Thank you to all. And thank you all. Words
thank
are hard.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a while since we've done a morning recording. So,
I know. We're
yeah,
waking
up. We're still waking up. So hopefully these words that came out of our mouth for the past hour and 5 minutes made sense.
I think they did.
Okay, good. If not, have a good weekend. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together,
we're
the
majority.
Ooh,
we nailed it that time.
I know. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.